Now we turn to God's Word as we read it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And I want to think of just a few of the verses here in that passage that we read. This morning we were thinking about the question, how much are God's people worth to Him? And we considered those words in Romans chapter 8, where the Apostle Paul says in verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And the worth of God's people to God is shown by how He was willing to give up His dearly loved, only begotten Son. That's what God's people are worth to Him. This evening I want to consider the question, what is God's kingdom worth to us? And that is the subject that the Lord Jesus deals with in the two little parables we have in verses 44 through to 46, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price. Jesus is talking about the value of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as it's usually referred to in Matthew's gospel. What is the kingdom of God worth? And let us consider this evening three things about God's kingdom that we're taught here in these verses. First of all, we're taught about God's kingdom that it is like treasure. God's kingdom is like treasure. These two little parables are very closely related. They sit together and they belong together. They have a slightly different emphasis, but they're teaching pretty much the same thing. In the first of these parables, the kingdom of heaven is said to be like treasure. But in the second parable, it doesn't say that the kingdom of heaven is like the pearl of great price, but it says it's like the merchant who goes looking for pearls. So the first of these two parables emphasizes the treasure, whereas the second of the parables emphasizes how much it costs. So we're thinking on the one hand of how valuable God's kingdom is, and on the other hand, how much it costs. There are two slightly different things. We have two men in these parables, and both of them find something that is of the greatest value. One man finds treasure hidden in a field in verse 44. And he finds it, he buries it there in the field, and then he goes off and he buys the field. The other man comes across the most valuable pearl that he has ever come across. And when these words were written, pearls had a much higher relative value than they have nowadays. They were even considered to be more valuable than other precious stones, even silver and gold. And this man finds a very special pearl, and he sells all that he has in order to buy this pearl. These parables are about the kingdom of God. These parables are teaching us that God's kingdom is like treasure. What is the kingdom of God worth to us? The man in the parables believed that what they had found was worth all that they had. And while the kingdom of God can be compared to treasure, can be compared to a valuable pearl, that comparison isn't even adequate. Everything that comes to us as part of God's kingdom, if we come to be a part of His kingdom, to belong, to have a place in His kingdom, Well, what we receive is so precious that it can't be measured on the same scale as earthly treasures. The things that God gives to us as part of his kingdom are so much more precious than other things. The people of this world who don't know God's kingdom and who are living for earthly things, the things that are precious to them, their value is nothing compared to the value of the kingdom of God. One of our problems in the Christian life is we grow used, we grow accustomed to our blessings, and we take things so readily for granted. We lose sight often of the sheer greatness and magnitude of the blessings that we receive from the Lord when we are part of his kingdom. Sometimes I think it would be good for us. I must be wrong because it doesn't happen. But I think it would be good for us if, just for a day, we could experience the thoughts and the attitudes and the fears and the worries and the experiences of an unbeliever and see life through their eyes, and then the next day go back to being a Christian again. And we would see what a blessing it is to know Christ and all that comes to us with Christ and his kingdom. We forget so easily the great, great riches that are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. We forget those wonderful things that have been poured out into our lap in and through the Lord Jesus. What a blessing it is, what a treasure it is to know forgiveness, to think of the sins we have committed against God, how every day of our lives we have sinned against him in all sorts of ways, things that we're utterly ashamed of, other things that we're not nearly as ashamed of as we should be, and we have been forgiven, and none of them will ever be held against us. What a blessing that is. We have the blessing in Christ of being declared righteous before God, that he is entirely pleased with what we are, that we measure up to all of his requirements, that there's nothing lacking in us, that we have passed in everything in which God tests us. We are declared righteous by God. What a blessing that is. We have, as Christians, the blessing of being adopted as the children of God. We used to not belong in his family, and now we do belong in his family. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been brought in. We are his sons and daughters. He has given us his name. He has declared himself to be our Father in heaven. And we will share in the inheritance that belongs to the Son of God himself. What a blessing that is. We know the blessing as Christians of an almighty hand that holds on to us and keeps us. Sang of that in Psalm 37. Every day the Lord's hand is upon us. He keeps us from so much that is evil. He steadies us through so many things where our steps are very dodgy. What a blessing that is. In Jesus Christ, we have the blessing of eternal life. We know that that is ours in Christ, that forever and ever and ever, we will live in the presence of God. We will live in a world that is perfect and that will never lose its perfection. And we have that to look forward to, and it won't just be like our summer holidays that are there for a week or a couple of weeks, and then it's back to the way things used to be. It'll never go back to the way things used to be. God's heaven will never be something that we'll get used to. It will never become mundane. It will always be something that is wonderful. What a blessing it is to have that eternal life. And we have a God who in our present life is working all things for the good of his saved people. We don't know how God is going to do that, but we know that he is going to do that. And whatever things we find hard to cope with, we know that God has good for us in those things. These are some of the great riches that are ours if we are a part of the kingdom of God. We have all of these things. We have many, many more things as well. And even one of them is enough to give us cause to thank and praise God forever. It's good for us sometimes to count our blessings and think and stack them up and consider how great it is to be within the kingdom of God. Not to be one of those people that are shut out from the kingdom, but to be an insider, to be one who belongs as part of the kingdom of God. And these are the things we need to remember when times are difficult, when we're tempted to despair, when we're tempted to be disheartened. There may be much of the gospel going out and being proclaimed that doesn't seem to yield much of a harvest. There may be many other messages out there that people seem to find attractive and appealing. But none of those messages come anywhere near to what there is in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is more valuable than words can convey. There is nothing to be compared to the kingdom of God. It is like treasure, but it's so much better than treasure. So that's the first thing about the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is like treasure. Then the second thing I would like you to see is that God has to open our eyes to that treasure. We have to have our eyes opened to the kingdom. These parables, little parables of Jesus, they're not meant to teach us that everybody in the world is searching for the truth, like the merchant was out searching, seeking after beautiful pearls. That's not what people normally do in life. Left to ourselves, we don't go seeking after the Lord. We don't go seeking after his kingdom. It's Jesus is the one who comes seeking after us. The Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost and those who weren't seeking after God's kingdom. People left to themselves do not seek after the things of God. People left to themselves tend to want to silence the voice of God rather than hear the voice of God. They want to block out the sound of God's message, and they do it through all sorts of other messages instead. Gordon Kitty, in writing on the parables, quotes the words of Amos in Amos chapter 8, verse 12. And Amos is speaking about the attitude of the Israelites in the 8th century BC. He speaks about them as men who stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but he says they will not find it. And Gordon Kitty says, they might have gone south to Jerusalem, where the truth was actually to be found, but they were only willing to search anywhere and everywhere but in the right direction. And that's the reality of the human heart. The human heart moves away from where the voice of God is, rather than towards it. The person of the world who likes to say they're seeking after truth, they will be moving away from where the truth actually is, and they'll be looking in all sorts of other directions. Isaiah, in chapter 65, verse 1, says this. He says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. God is speaking. God says, I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I, here am I. And there is only one way that people come to recognize the preciousness of God's kingdom, and that is by the Lord opening our blind eyes so that we see that God's kingdom is a precious thing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, that the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. He says, to him they are foolishness, and he cannot understand them because these things are spiritually discerned. Think about the man out looking for pearls. Well, other people maybe saw that same pearl that he saw, but they didn't realize its value. They didn't go and sell everything they had in order to buy and obtain that pearl. They didn't have an eye that was trained to recognize what is precious. And so it is with the spiritual blessings connected to the kingdom of God. There are many people who hear about the blessings of God's kingdom, how good it is to be a Christian, and how wonderful these things are. There are people who see, as it were, the pearls of God's kingdom, but they themselves are like swine, and they cannot appreciate these things. They don't see the value of these things. Unbelievers, unless God works in their heart, they just don't see what is precious. They don't see the things that are so special to Christians as being anything of value at all. And it's only when someone comes to experience for themselves the greatness of the wealth of riches that are there in Jesus Christ, it's only then that it can really be understood. The non-Christian doesn't know what it's like to be a Christian. They see the way a Christian lives and what they do and what they don't do, and that they don't want those things for themselves. There are other things that are more valuable to them, more precious to them. They often think of the Christian life as being a matter of observing a whole series of rules. They don't see any joy in that. Where is the treasure there? They would rather be free to do whatever they want to do. Our church outing this year was to Rathlin Island, and one of the things I was looking forward to in going to Rathlin for only the second time that I've been there was to see the seals. The first time I'd been there, I saw hundreds and hundreds of seals on the south end of the island, but they weren't there in their vast numbers. There were a few, not too far from the harbour. I always thought that seals look like big slugs, and I like to think of the comparison between a slug and a seal. Imagine a slug and a seal that are good friends. Surely the slug and Sammy the seal, and they like to be at the seaside. Sammy the seal does something that surely the slug just can't understand why he would do that. He goes into the salty water. Well, surely the slug is never going to do that. She's going to stay well away from that salty water. She knows there's no joy there. But for the seal is a beautiful, graceful creature when it's swimming through that water. It looks pretty clumsy when it's flumping about on the rocks and the sand. But when it's in that water, see that thing move. See the freedom it has. It's in its element. And the unbeliever is a bit like the slug. Just can't grasp that for the believer, there is so much freedom in Christ, so much that's special and wonderful. And they want to stay away from it. It looks dangerous to them. It is by the grace of God that we are able to appreciate the value of what's offered to us in the gospel. That's only by God's grace. It's not because we were clever people and we made a good choice that we're Christians and other people who heard the same message aren't. It's by the grace of God that our eyes are opened to see the preciousness of Jesus Christ. He is the King of the kingdom. And only by God's grace will people see that this is precious. So the kingdom of God is like treasure. But we have to have eyes to see it. God has to give us the eyes to see it. And then the third thing about the kingdom of God in these parables is that it costs us all that we have. Jesus is not teaching in any way in these parables that the kingdom of God can be earned. It is something that's received by grace. It's never merited. But there is a very definite process of exchange that is in view here in these parables. In both parables, the men concerned, they sold everything that they had in order to purchase the precious thing that they have found. There's no arguing over the cost. Neither man says, well, this is asking a bit much. They're willing to give all that they have for the precious thing that they have found. They see what they're going to gain, and they see what they already have, and they think, well, this is far better. I want this. And I'm willing to leave all this other stuff behind. And they willingly exchange what they've never had, or they're willing to gain what they've never had by getting rid of what they have had until now. Now, these parables of Jesus, they were not spoken to the crowds, but they were spoken to the disciples. And these are words that were preparing the disciples for what would lie ahead for them. The disciples are always interested in what they are going to receive. But Jesus sometimes emphasizes what it costs to be a disciple of his. And almost all of the apostles would be asked to lay down their lives for the sake of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is teaching that there is a very definite price tag that is attached to the kingdom of God. It doesn't cost £1,000 or £10,000 or £100,000 or any such amount. The cost of the kingdom of God is simply all that you have. Can't be a part of God's kingdom for anything less than that. Whatever you've got, that's what the kingdom costs. God never asks any more than what you have, and God never asks any less than what you have. For everyone to receive the kingdom, it costs all that you have. We have to be willing to give our all, and if we're not willing to do that, well, then there will be no kingdom of God for us. God, it is said, only fills empty vessels. We have to empty ourselves to receive the kingdom of God. And there's a danger that thing that Christ emphasized quite often in his ministry is toned down in today's world. People are sometimes led to believe that they don't need to come with completely empty hands to the Lord, that they can bring with them things that are important to them and precious to them in life, and being a Christian won't necessarily affect these things in your life. You can have Christ and you can have whatever else you love also. People want to know the blessings of the kingdom of God, but they also want to hold on to things that are precious to them when they're outside of the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus doesn't present that as being an option. Jesus is teaching that if you want this thing, if you want my kingdom, then you have to give your all. Give all that you have in order to get it. You won't find this precious treasure unless you're willing to give everything in exchange for it. And so the scriptures teach us that it is the whole of our lives. All we are and all we have has to be given over to God. Christ has to be the Lord of everything in our lives. We can't just have him as one who forgives our sins but doesn't have a say in what we do with our time. We cannot hold back anything. There can be no departments within our lives where Jesus Christ is excluded, where he is not the one who has the final say. There's no day of the week that we can keep to ourselves. There's no part of any day that is just for us, not for him. There's no friendship that we can exclude from Christ's rule. There's no activity we can give ourselves to that's just for us. Everything, Jesus Christ must be king. And that was the call that Jesus made to those who would follow him as his disciples. For many, it was asking too much. That's why most of them turned from following him, didn't follow him anymore. He said things that were hard, things that were demanding. Jesus says, this will cost you everything, by the way. And it was only those who had their eyes opened that saw that everything that it was going to cost them was nothing compared to the great treasure that they were going to gain. And that is a choice that faces people. If God opens our eyes to see the great value and great worth of his kingdom, we'll have no problem making the choice. We'll not be torn between two ways to go in life. We'll not be losing sleep at night thinking, do I want to follow Jesus or do I want to hold on to my sin and my selfishness and my life that's all about me? The words of Paul in Philippians 3 speak about his experience, and he says there that whatever was to my profit, he says, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. He says, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Our life without Christ was a rubbish life. It was getting us nowhere. It was doing nobody any good. But the life we receive in Jesus Christ is a beautiful thing. It's a thing that can do great good to many people. It's a thing that can bring great glory and praise and honor to the Lord. And to have a little part within the kingdom of Jesus Christ is far, far better than any place, any position outside of the kingdom of Christ. These parables of Jesus encourage us to see things that way, to look upon ourselves now, if we profess to be Christians, to look upon ourselves as being the people who are the richest people in the world, the people who are the most blessed people in the world, the people who have it all. We have all the good things, because all the good things are tied up in Jesus Christ, and we are united to him. And what we had to give, well, it was worth giving it all. What we had was nothing compared to what we gain in Jesus Christ. Christ's kingdom is like treasure. It's worth giving everything you've got to know yourself to be a part of his kingdom. Amen.